From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Noah Adams. Thanksgiving is traditionally the busiest concentrated travel period of the year. This year, despite the season's grim news, or perhaps because of it, many travelers are heading out for a Thanksgiving holiday away from home. We sent reporters around the country to check on how the journey is going. We hear first from NPR's Richard Gonzalez, who found passengers at San Francisco's airport eager to talk about new security precautions.
The lines were long and the mood rather subdued at San Francisco's International Airport as passengers waited patiently to move towards the metal detectors. For many people, this wasn't the first time they've flown since September 11th, so the heightened security was taken in stride. Homemaker Olivia Miklovitz.
I thought security was wonderful. I got frisked and everything, so that made me feel better.
Nearby, geologist Larry Davis joked that on a previous flight, his shoulder-length blonde locks probably singled him out for suspicion.
They searched me. I guess I looked like I was a nasty guy because we're flying one way because we didn't have return tickets. And, so they did a pat down and checked everything and found out that, yes, I was a male. But I wasn't carrying any kind of weapons, so they let me go.
But Davis's companion, Karina Nguyen, had a complaint. She says security personnel were too polite.
They didn't even go inside my pack. Like, I wouldn't mind if they, like, checked more stuff. I don't think it serves any purpose by just kind of touching the outside of my pack.
Filmmaker Tanya Cuevas has had the opposite experience. She thinks she and her friends have been subject to racial profiling.
It feels uncomfortable to know that, you know, depending on what your last name is, you get picked out, you know. And
did that happen to you?
I had to take my shoes off and put them in a bag and run them through the detectors, and they picked through my bags and stuff. But, you know, if that's what we have to go through now for security purposes, then, hey, I'm with it.
Richard Gonzalez, NPR News, San Francisco.
I'm Lisa Labas at Union Station in Chicago. About 50 people are scattered about the Amtrak waiting room. Almost everyone is enduring hours of layover. Nothing seems different here than before September 11th. There's no noticeable police presence, no force of security guards, nobody asking passengers questions. I walked into the waiting area past a sign, ticketed passengers only. Sylvia Wright is on her way to visit family in Ann Arbor, Michigan. She just likes the train. She was on a train in June and says her ride up to Chicago this time was just great, the same good service, and she loves the view. She doesn't notice much more security this time.
There really isn't any. I was surprised that all they asked for was the driver's license. Well, we know children in high school and college get fake IDs from, you know, driver's license. So, I mean, that's no big thing at all.
Jimmy Daniels took the train from his home in Roselle, New Jersey. He's on his way to see his daughter in Texas. He's like many people in the waiting room here. He says there's no way he's ever going to get on a plane. And he felt that way before September 11th. He points a long finger at me.
I don't trust the mechanics, I don't trust the planes, I don't trust the airlines.
And if security is tighter now, he hasn't noticed.
Planes, they're too lackadaisical in fixing them. I have family relatives that are airplane mechanics, and they won't even fly. So now you know if the mechanics won't fly, I won't.
He says he just feels safer on a train because he could run away if something happened. One woman did change her travel plans this year. Yvonne Weldon is on her way to see family in Detroit. She lowers her head, smiles, and admits that last year she made the same trip, but she flew.
September 11th changed my mind.
Lisa Labas, Union Station, Chicago.
I'm Joshua Leves at a rest stop called the Sunshine Travel Center in Jackson, Georgia, about an hour south of Atlanta. The American Automobile Association says 9 out of 10 people traveling for the Thanksgiving holiday are traveling by car. While overall travel for the holiday is expected to drop 6% from last year, travel by automobile is expected to drop 2%. And AAA says many people are taking longer trips than they have in past years.
We're driving to Corydon, Indiana. That's exactly 970 miles.
Susan Seal of Port St. Lucie, Florida, is traveling with her three teenage sons and her husband, Bob. They say it felt especially important to be with family this year. Bob was supposed to fly, but last week, Susan asked him not to.
With the plane crashing, I preferred him not to fly at this point.
For some travelers, the drive itself is therapeutic. Eleanor Cousin, a religious counselor with the Council of Faith Ministries, says she's had a lot on her mind in the wake of September 11th, but little time to herself. So she packed up her 1998 Chevy Blazer for the four-hour drive from Atlanta to Savannah, a trip she hasn't made in 7 years.
Ordinarily, I'll be complaining about driving. The boring ride, there's nothing to see, but I love it. Put you some good CDs on, drive on down the road.
Other auto travelers tell us the recent events had no impact on their plans.
It really hasn't changed us at all. It is nice having the low gas prices. That has helped.
Phil Sabatine and his wife Anne are a retired couple from Birmingham, Michigan. They stopped inside the convenience store at the rest stop to fill up on coffee. They're in the middle of a 19-hour drive to Dunedin, Florida.
When you pass all these vehicles with all the flags and banners hanging from them and that, it's just there constantly. Well, it reminds you how lucky we are to live where we are.
Joshua Leves, NPR News, at the Sunshine Travel Center rest stop in Jackson, Georgia.
This is Tovia Smith at the South Station bus terminal in Boston, where the gates are crowded with many travelers no longer willing to fly. 18-year-old Raquelmi Sosa, a student at Bowdoin College in Maine, is taking the bus home to New York City.
I just don't think it's safe to fly anymore. I'm scared to fly now.
So are Myra and Sherman Unger, who are headed to New Hampshire from their home near Ground Zero in New York City. For them, taking the bus means 7 hours and several stops. But this year, they say, that's still easier than flying.
We're from New York. It hangs over your head. We're getting back to what's normal for today, but it's not really normal yet. The fear is still there.
Other travelers making their way through Boston today say they're not so much afraid of flying as they are worried about the extra security at airports that could mean long lines and delays.
Terminal security procedures recommend that all passengers keep their luggage in their possession at all times.
Security has been beefed up at South Station as well, but so far the thicker-than-usual crowds are moving smoothly, according to Joe DeMassi, a bus line supervisor.
Well, normally we see it this busy on a Wednesday. We've never seen it this busy on a Tuesday, this early, before the holiday.
But for every traveler expressing fear this holiday, there are several others more defiant. Many, like Boston College junior Mary Claire McGee, say it's only the cost of flying that's deterring them. McGee lost an uncle in the World Trade Center on September 11th. She's taking the bus home to Long Island, she says, to save money. But she's making a point of flying back on Sunday.
Everybody's been so strong, I think, nationwide. And if I'm, as one person, I'm afraid to fly, I think that I'd kind of be going against everyone if I chickened out too.
Besides, McGee says, given all that's happened in the last 2 months, home with family is the only place she wants to be. Tovia Smith, NPR News, Boston.